Greetings and welcome to the Energy Links podcast series. This is Paul Rippey, and I am here in Dar es Salaam with Patanas Nachiket, who is the executive director of the Appropriate Rural Technology Institute, ARTI, in Tanzania. I just had a very, very interesting tour of the ARTI offices and got to see what is actually the first biomass digester actually working that I've ever seen in my life. So it was a real pleasure for me to see that. Patanas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
So could you describe, and we don't have any pictures to show people, but could you describe what the digester is like?
The system that we are promoting is called the compact biogas digesters. These are basically two plastic water storage tanks, which are generally roto-molded tanks. And for the domestic size, what we use is a 1,000-liter digester, a 1,500-liter digester with a 1,000-liter gas holder. Both the tanks are cut open at the top, and they telescope. The smaller tank telescopes into the larger tank. The tanks are filled with water, and to start up a system, we use a culture from another biogas system and maybe about two buckets of cow dung, basically as an inoculant, but the cow dung is used just once. Thereafter, once this fermentation starts up and the gas production has begun, we feed about 3 kilograms of food waste, which is basically potato peels or banana peels or leftover food. Or in the Tanzanian style of cooking, we get a layer of burnt food at the bottom of the pots, which is then mixed with a little bit of water, fed into the system, and the whole waste is flushed with about 10 liters of additional water to push the waste into the digester. In the digester, the waste starts decomposing, and when anything decomposes, it gives out a gas called methane. The gas holder, which is turned over into the digester, collects this methane, and as the methane builds up, the tank rises. The pressure of the gas pushes the tank up. At the top of the gas holder, we have a tap which allows the gas to be tapped directly into the kitchen, where you use a normal LPG cooking stove, which has been modified. The only modification that we do there is we remove the high pressure nipple, and then it's a free flowing gas, and you cook on it.
And I just saw the flame, and I testify that that was indeed a nice hot cooking flame. You use one yourself at home?
Yes, I use one at my house. My partner also uses one at his house, and so far we've got about 50 systems installed in different places in East Africa.
Now you just showed me pictures of one installation at a government school, which I thought was fascinating.
Yes, the government school project we did together with the Tanzania Commission for Science and Technology. It was a pilot project to see if these systems are economically beneficial, and also to work out how much charcoal saving the schools would have.
And how much was that?
Now that these systems have been working at the Azania Secondary School for the last two years almost, and we have records that now their charcoal consumption has reduced by about 75% to 80% from before. Now, if you look at the economic aspect of the whole project, the total investment was 8.5 million Tanzania shillings.
And in dollars, that's about?
That's, let's say you divide 8.5 by 1,500 shillings to
so
a dollar.
$600.
$600. And they are saving 675,000 shillings per month now on the charcoal that they were buying. So if you divide the 8.5 by the 675, you get a payback period of approximately 13 months.
Yeah. But this is with the system, and I could just from looking at it, that system will last not just years, that could last decades.
Well, the tank manufacturers guarantee the tanks for 30 years.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And you never have to empty out the system because whatever you feed into it gets digested. Once it's digested, it floats to the top of the water. And every time you feed it, the digested material flows out from the overflow.
Right.
Now, that overflow is a very, very good organic fertilizer. Can be used for your vegetable gardens or your orchards, or it can be recycled back into the system.
Aha.
Especially in areas where there is a little water shortage. You don't have to find fresh water to flush your waste into the system. You just recycle the overflow.
Then the only question I have is, why don't we have these everywhere? Because it does seem, I mean, the math is right, the technology is right.
Well, especially in places like Tanzania, the initial investment is a little hard to come by. It's number one. Number two, people who have the money and can invest are a little skeptical about how successful these systems would be working. So we are now trying to develop a business model where we are looking for investors who could invest in about 100 domestic units at $600 a unit. And then we set up these units in people's homes and employ people to feed the systems every day, to maintain them. And the user pays us on a monthly basis. So it's what we call as build, operate, sustain, and then sell. So the whole system is BOSS, build, operate, sustain, and sell.
That's what I would call cooking fuel as a service, though. You're not selling the system. You're selling
the gas.
The gas.
Yeah, the right. Gas for cash.
Essentially, you create little small fuel companies.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
And then once this business model proves itself, I'm sure there will be a lot of other investors willing to do similar projects in different parts of the country or different parts of the world. And I think that's when this technology would really start having an impact.
Right. So for a single unit, which could start a business, a small business,
yes,
take an investment of about $600.
Yes.
And that's well within the range of what microfinance institutions could easily fund.
Yes, right? If they wanted to.
Yeah, if they wanted to. But it's a high-risk thing, and the people might not have guarantees, and they might not want to. But if they... So if you're a microfinance institution listening to this, you should get in touch with Botanist, because it does seem like a winner.
I would also welcome not just the microfinance people, but we also run a program which is called the Pashamoto Program, Give the Gift of Renewable Energy, in which we've used a line which says, give a gift that keeps on giving. So we've had a school in Canada where the kids fundraised about $2,000, and we installed a large biogas system at an orphanage with the funding. So even philanthropists are welcome.
Sure.
Investors who are looking at a commercial enterprise are also welcome to meet with us to see how we can take this forward. It doesn't have to be 100 units. It can be 50 units. It can be 25 units. It can be 1,000 units.
Yeah, sure.
We'll take it up as a pilot.
I just had a tour of Arte. That was one of the activities. Another one is charcoal, and I think we won't get into biomass briquettes. But also just mentioned that you're also selling solar lamps.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
During the charcoal briquette trainings, we've been visiting villages, and we see that the need for a home system is very important, a home solar system, because there's no electricity in 80% of Tanzania. So then we started developing our own system, but then we came across the barefoot system, which was exactly on the lines that we were planning to develop a system. And if the wheel is invented, why reinvent the wheel? So we are now promoting the barefoot systems in Dar es Salaam and Tanzania. Shortly, we would be launching a project which is funded by the World Bank, in which we would be distributing approximately 700 light systems to villages in the Bagamoyo district. Mm-hmm. And the funding would basically provide long-term credit to the existing business system or the trade channels that are there, in which they already have a built-in microfinancing kind of technology or a methodology, where the shop owner, because he has the power of denial, he is able to control the credit that he has given to his customer. And that system is called Mali Kauli in Swahili. Mali is basically goods. Kauli means the word of honor. So the goods are supplied against the word of honor on long-term credit. And we would be utilizing that system.
Yes. And these are the larger systems, four lamps, and how many watts
are
those panels?
Those are 5-watt panels.
They're 5-watt panels, yeah.
They're called the Bayfoot Power Pack 5-watt.
Right.
And there's four lamps and a place where you can charge your mobile telephones, as well as use it to play a 4.5-volt radio.
When I came in, I didn't look up, because if I looked up at the ceiling, I would have seen that you use a power pack yourself to light up your office.
Yes. What we always believe, right since we established Aarti, is we would do it first and then show it to people. Because in all parts of the world, seeing is believing.
And yeah, I would have been suspicious if I'd come in and you were cooking on charcoal. I said, that's not right. That's great. Putness, just thank you very much. Very good luck to you, and we'll stay in touch.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
The Energy Links podcast is brought to you by the Academy for Educational Development Field Project, www.fieldsupportlowa.org/energylinks, and the Center for Financial Inclusion at Action International, www.action.org/center, with the generous assistance of the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, and the Wallace Global Foundation. Of course, the views expressed are not necessarily those of the sponsors. Your comments and questions are welcome. Please send them to energylinks2009@gmail.com.